Blah 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 blah. Yo 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 yo. Yeah. What is going on, everyone? Hello and welcome back to another episode of Yes, Bro. I want to start off by thanking you all again for tuning into another episode. I still don't understand why you guys enjoy me so much, but thanks. You really guys really, really like me. It means the world to me, and the fact that every episode gets more and more listeners. You guys are sharing, you guys are telling your friends about it. I fucking live for it. But, you know, this equipment costs money, entertaining my guests costs money. So, guys, if you want to keep, you know, this starving artist happy, you can access the link in the Yaspero bio and become a contributor. I don't have any nifty rewards or gifts for you guys who choose to be contributors just yet, but who knows? Maybe I fucking will someday, and every 100th contributor will get a blowjob. But anyways, guys, I know I say this all the time, but I have a very special guest with me. The first female to be featured in Yas Bro. This is history being made. Welcome, Daniela Romero.
What's up, guys? I'm so honored. I'm the first.
No, listen, it means so much to me to have you here for several reasons. Number one, Daniela, she had me on her podcast not too long ago, and it was such a great experience for me, and I was just like, oh my god, this is so much fun. It was one of those things that was like, okay, I need to get my own fucking podcast going right now.
To this day, your episode was the best by far.
Like, I can't
perform the best. Everyone loved it. I got comments about it. That's how I knew this podcast was gonna be incredible for you.
Like, oh my gosh, I can't. Hands down. Like, I don't know how to deal with all of that pressure right now. I'm just like, oh my god, people really like my voice and the stupid shit I have to say.
More rosé.
So that was reason number one why you're special to me. Reason number two, you're actually, well, there are a million reasons, but you're probably one of the few people that I've known for almost as long as I have sort of been alive.
Yes, we've known each other a long time.
We met back in middle school.
Yes.
Sixth grade.
Yep.
And we bonded over our love for Britney Spears.
Yes, my queen. Britney.
That was
I will never forget. I still remember the day. Like, I walked into language arts class, and I think I didn't have my Britney stuff anymore. Because I got made fun of in the fifth grade. Because I had the Britney backpack. I had the Britney pencil pouch. I had everything Britney. And then I was like, I'm starting middle school. I can't do this anymore. You know, like, I got to be cool. But I still loved her.
Right.
And I probably had like a folder or something.
Yeah.
And you brought it up. And I was like, I love her. And I'm like looking at you. I was like, don't make fun of me. Because I was like, okay, a guy's talking to me about Britney Spears right now. He's going to make fun of me. Please don't make fun of me. You're like, no, she's amazing. She's so hot. I'm like, yes.
She's so hot. Wow. You took me back. This is me disguising my homosexuality by saying, yeah, she's so hot. Meanwhile, here I am with like the fucking Britney Spears cover of her first album on my clear plastic binder.
Oh my god, I snorted.
Fuck. It's fine. Snort all you want, honey.
Okay. You know what? I'm gonna confess something.
Yeah, confess.
As I'm drinking the rosé, because I started thinking about it, and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm going to eventually share this with all my friends so they can listen to it and everything. Yeah. And the first thing, we're not even, 10 minutes in, and the first thing they're going to say is, Daniela, you hate rosé. I
know. Stop it. You hate rosé?
No, but this is actually not bad rosé. Or maybe it's the two vodka shots that I took before. So I'm like, you know.
No, this is good rosé. I mean, I got it at Trader Joe's for like $8.
It's not bad. But I have to say, like, I don't normally drink rosé. It's just not my thing. I'm not a fan of rosé.
No, and
but
a lot of people.
This isn't bad.
No, this is like, I get like, the key to buying any good rosé that's going to be a people pleaser or whatever, it's making sure that it's from the south of France. So anything that says en Provence, that's, you know, a people pleaser.
How champagne can only be champagne if it's from
champagne.
That region, right?
Yes, exactly. France. Like, yeah. Don't come at me with.
If not, it's sparkling wine.
Exactly. Or like Prosecco.
Prosecco.
Shut the fuck up. I hate Prosecco.
I don't like Prosecco either. I'm a red wine person. Yeah.
See, I like red wine, but red wine gets me sleepy, horny, and depressed. Like, right. That combination of things. God.
Yeah, I probably would have chosen the rosé over the red wine if you had offered red wine.
Oh, okay.
So, No, I think we're doing good with rosé.
Yeah, it's light. Drink. It's
I just subtle. Didn't want to be fake and get on the end like, oh yeah, I'm drinking rosé, and everyone's like, bitch, you don't even drink rosé, you hate it.
So I don't know if you know, because you haven't drank rosé with me. That's the difference.
That's true. Right, it's the company.
It's the company. Yes, and the
Downing this like it's fucking Gatorade.
And it's the company and the recommendations that come along with it. You know.
That is true.
Rosé all day. So if you want to get fucked up and like drink this shit like water, one of my favorite things to do with rosé is add like Saint-Germain to it. Like elderflower liqueur. And oh my God, it sweetens it a bit so that it's not so, it's like juice. But oh my God.
I'm going to try that.
I say this all the time and watch, someone is going to fucking steal this idea from me. But I call it dumb bitch juice because you're drinking it. Mm-hmm. And then guess what happens? You're texting your ex at 2 p.m. like you up. So
at 2 p.m. because you're at brunch, clearly. If you're having rosé, you have to be at brunch.
Hey, you up.
Are you up?
So we veered off a little bit, but I really wanted to talk about Britney Spears.
Yes, right. Sorry. Britney. Oh, my Britney.
So unless you're living under a fucking rock, you know that Britney Spears, like she's
not well.
Okay, you said it, not me.
I know, because I know, you know what, we're going to get into this disagreement, because I believe in her, and I believe in the Free Britney movement, and you don't believe in the Free Britney movement.
I do not, but go ahead, why do you believe in the Free Britney movement?
Because I really do think that, like, she has done probably so many drugs, and she's so over-medicated, and she's so, like, not there, but the essence of who she is still, like, I think she should still have some sort of control over what she does. And the fact that her dad has it and just uses her, I don't know, it's awful. Like, granted, I don't think she should be, like, locked up in a mental institution at all.
No.
But this is, like, the second best thing to that, is not being able to do. I think the only reason she does those videos and she puts them out there and she embarrasses herself that way is because of the situation that she's in. I think if she were allowed to be free,
mm-hmm.
she probably wouldn't post about that. She would probably just focus all her time on her kids and not put out anything.
Okay.
I think she would be less in the public eye.
Yeah. See, like,
because clearly her handlers don't have an issue with it.
Yeah.
Because if they did, think about it. Like, they know that they can get some sort of monetization out of those videos, out of those wacky things that she does.
Yeah.
So.
See, like, I feel like they're allowing her to sabotage herself.
Exactly.
So, you know, it helps them build a case. Like, okay, you know what? Britney, here she is filing to terminate her conservatorship and whatnot. Yeah. Did you see what she posted on social media the other day and the day before that and the day before that? And like, you can tell with her erratic behavior and the things that she's saying and the way that she presents herself on camera that, you know, she's not well. So I think that this is sabotage. Like, I'm pretty sure these people are getting paid to be like, yeah, just let her post whatever the fuck she wants so that everyone can see, like, she's not well. And then we can keep her under conservatorship a lot longer and we can continue making money off of her. These are just theories because, like, there's a lot of ugly in the world.
Yeah.
And I love Britney. Like, again, I've always been a fan. Me, today, I can't sit here and say that, oh my God, she's the most amazing thing since sliced bread, like some of you like to do. You know, I don't want to accept the artist that she's become today.
I think she's a cultural icon.
I wouldn't say
that she's like, she's not the best singer.
No.
She's not the best dancer. She's not the best performer.
No.
She's not the best. She's definitely not the best actress. Like, I loved her, but I watched Crossroads and I was like, ooh, baby girl.
Listen, Crossroads was snubbed at the fucking Oscars. Get the fuck out of my studio.
What? Goodbye. Crossroads is awful and I loved her. I subscribed to the Britney Spears fan club, $50 a month. No big deal. You got a little card in the mail with a cat.
I was like, what?
It was a cat. Yeah, I swear to God, it was a cat. Her old icon before was a butterfly or something. It was a cat.
I didn't know this. Mm-hmm. See, I wanted to sign up for the Britney Spears fan club, but, like, poor. So I feel that she needs to be kept under a conservatorship because when I compare her to, like, other artists, like, I don't know.
Don't say Beyonce. You cannot compare her to Beyonce.
No, I would never do.
What, to Christina?
No, I'm talking, like, artists with, like, addiction, for example.
Oh.
Like, Amy Winehouse, Whitney Houston. Who probably
they're all dead.
Yeah, but they could have still been alive if they like were under conservatorship or if they had people telling them like, no, we're taking control over everything, over what you do, A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
But I don't think the drugs
my microphone.
I don't think the drugs that she was on, or she's on, or she's not on anymore, are like the Whitney Houston, Amy Winehouse drugs. Like, I think she was given stuff to cope with the amount of work that she had to do.
Maybe.
Since she was young. Mm. So it was more like pharmaceuticals that she was taking rather than like, yeah. Oh, I'm doing lines here. Like, she's not like Demi Lovato who's asking for meth. Like, she's.
Well.
Was that part of our topic?
You said meth. Let's get methy. No, I'm kidding.
This escalated very quickly.
No, so I'm connected with a few people, and there's this one guy that he follows me on Instagram. I'm super cool with him, and he works in PR. So at the very beginning, when everyone started picking up on like all of Britney's erratic behavior, he writes to me, he's like, I'm connected with a few people that work with like her team, and apparently every time someone walks into her house or is going about to enter the property, they have to get heavily searched for drugs. Okay. And this one person slipped through the cracks and was caught trying to smuggle in meth.
Oh, I mean.
Yeah. And it breaks my heart because, you know, addiction is something very real. And that's it true. Can happen to anyone. And I just think that she went through like a really bad trip at some point in her life. And her life just began spiraling from there.
I think she was probably overworked as she was younger, and yeah. Then probably had to turn to drugs to help cope with all of that. And then that's where everything went south. And the people that were handling her and were exploiting her were like, okay, fuck, we fucked up because we did a little too much. And now she's addicted to drugs. Now we have to handle this mess. And yeah. So now
we have to give her drugs to not be addicted to drugs.
Right. Exactly. And I think that probably changed her brain chemistry entirely. Oh, yeah. And now she's just.
No,
I just feel like her heart is so pure.
Oh, my God. It is. She's so not so problematic.
Like,
she's,
for real. For somebody that's like so fucked up on drugs, like she's not problematic at
she's
all.
She's not. She's just here minding her business, wearing the same khakis every day. No, you know,
I just want to give her some makeup wipes.
Listen, yes.
Can Neutrogena just sponsor
so
her?
So if someone were to walk up to you, someone from Britney's team,
yeah,
were to walk up to you and tell you, hey, Daniela, we want you to like help Britney. What would you do?
The first thing I would do is get her makeup wipes, a whole skincare routine, and throw and burn the fucking shorts. The low rise, like low rise, is not in anymore. Oh, we're not going to bring them back. Please stop, Brittany.
I know. Like I would, you know what I would do? I'd hire her a hairstylist to come in maybe like 2-3 times a week, just to shampoo, lather her hair. You know, put in some new cute extensions. You know, blow dry it. Throw some dry shampoo in there. I send someone in daily to do her makeup, like, if she wants to do makeup, it's at her discretion. If she wants to do natural, because she loves looking natural lately, naturally messy.
Yeah, but naturally, but, like, she doesn't let go of the eyeliner.
She does not. Oh, my God. That shit is scary. Yeah, and send someone in to, like, help her with her makeup from time to time.
Yeah.
Just to, like, you know. Keep her.
Yeah, definitely a stylist. That's the first thing.
Oh my God. Yes.
A stylist. A stylist. She doesn't need a cook. She doesn't need a trainer. She doesn't need anything. Like, her body's fucking rocking. Like, she's good in that aspect. But like, mama, a stylist. Please.
I know. I would definitely send her. Like, I don't know why. Like, people, like, they're personal shoppers out there.
Dude, she's stuck in 2003.
She is. She is. And I know. I'm like, girl, they haven't let you walk into a mall and shop for something in like how long?
And you know she has the money for it. So.
She does.
Oh, wait, no. I'm shitting on Britney. No, I love you, Britney. If you ever listen to this.
I love you, Britney, too. We just... We Britney, if you're listening,
Leave Britney alone.
We just want you to know that we really love you and we want what's best for you.
I love you. I'm a ride or die.
Oh, my God. No. So, Daniela's like on edge and pins and needles right now because she's like, I have no idea what we're going to talk about.
Britney was tame. I can talk Britney.
Yeah, we can talk Britney. So, there was this one thing, this one topic that I think we spoke about it briefly and I was like, oh my gosh, yes, we definitely have to speak on this.
Okay.
The whole girls and gays and girls referring to my gays as my gays and all that stuff. So just a little backstory. Daniela is what I would consider a fag hag.
Stop. I hate that word. That's so offensive.
Why?
That's okay. So I've heard that. Uh-huh. I've heard that word.
I'm being schooled right now, y'all. This is what I'm here for.
I've heard that. And I've actually heard in description to me, I've heard the actual opposite. I've actually, most of my friends that I have talked to have actually said like, oh, because you know, there are some girls that are fag hags. I hate that I just said that word. I'm so sorry. But
It's okay. This is a safe space.
That's not what you were. They're like, yeah. No, but that's not what you are. And mm-hmm. I have always prided myself on that.
Yeah.
Because yes, do I have a lot of friends that are gay? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of different types of friends, I think.
Yeah.
Across the board. I'm going to drink more rosé for this because I am very passionate about this.
Yes, please. Love that this is your passion.
Yes, I have a few. I have a few anecdotes for that.
Yes.
But I do have a lot of fun with my boys. I really do. I have friends that are lesbians. I have friends that are straight guys that are man whores. I have a buttload of friends and couples. So like, I can't really say like I have a specific type a friend that I flock to, right? Like, uh-huh. I can't say all my friends are in a couple and I'm the only single girl. Yeah. I can't say like all my guy friends are man whores. They're awful. I can't say any of that. What I do hang out with for the most part a lot
mm-hmm.
is like my guy friends that happen to be gay.
Okay.
But I hang out with them for, I mean, a million types of reasons, right? So like, I don't want to I'm saying that I don't generalize, but if I had to generalize, the reason uh-huh. why I have so many friends is A, super popular, all of you guys. Mm-hmm. Like, you're the most friendliest people on the planet. Like, you guys will make friends with anything. We will go. I'm at a point in my life where I'm not where my coupled friends are right now, where they're thinking about, you know, like the next house they're going to buy, the next kid they're going to have. Like, I'm not in that stage of life. I love my single guy friends. I hang out with them all the time. But there's also like a girl code that I sort of keep as well. Then like I wouldn't sign up any of my girlfriends to hang out with them. So like I'll go out with them every once in a while, but they also live a certain type of lifestyle that I'm not into. But my boys, like, we have so much fun when we go out and I treat them like any other friend. Like, I'm in a stage of life where I just want to have fun right now. I just want to go out. I want to enjoy myself. And the reason why I tell them that I love them so much is because they're one of the only like groups of people, if I had to group people, that I can feel the most myself because they don't judge. Mm-hmm. Like, and if I had to say one like generalization about gay guys, it's that they do not judge.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they judge amongst themselves, but if made out with five guys in one bar at one night, at the end of the night, they're not thinking anything of it. They're not going to repeat it to anybody else. They're literally going to say, yes, girl, we love you.
I'd be jealous as fuck. I'm lucky if I can get one guy to make out with me.
Right. Which, for the record, that almost never happens. Mm-hmm. But I take so much pride in like them not seeing me as the girl that they hang out with.
Yeah.
Them just seeing me as a friend. Like, mm-hmm. I've gotten to the point with a lot of my guy friends, I think, that they don't see me as the girl that we're bringing along. They actually just see me as like the friend that we're going to hang out with.
Yeah.
So a lot of the times I'll find myself in a situation where I'm the only girl around, but I don't think, ooh, I'm the only girl around. Oh my God, cater to me, buy me drinks, like give me attention. I'm not like that at all. Like, I'm just thinking like, okay, does anybody need me to like wingman? Is everybody good? Is anybody too drunk? Like, is everybody having a good time? Like, what music are we playing? Because I'm sorry. Like, I don't care. I have never been to a straight bar where the music is better than a gay bar.
Never. Period. Thank you
never.
For highlighting that.
Never.
You hear that, straight people?
Yes.
Say it again.
And I have straight, and thank God that the music at gay bars is 1,000 times better than the music at straight bars. It doesn't matter where
you go. Oh, yeah.
By far. And I have straight guy friends. Thank God. All of my straight guy friends are super open-minded. They don't care. They will hang out with me and my gay friends. They like, they actually love it. They actually enjoy it. I am so grateful to surround myself with people that are like that. And they agree the same thing. Like, we just have a good time. It's all about like living your authentic life and being your best self and having a good time. And that's what I love so much about hanging out with gay guys. And I know I get a lot of shit for it sometimes. They're like, oh, you're never gonna meet a guy. And I'm like, I don't go out.
Do people really say that?
Yes, I've heard that.
Actually, like, yes, people do really say that. But I hear it more from like the older generations. Like, yes. I have girlfriends that they hang around. Like there was a period that like a girlfriend of mine that would be single would be like, oh, you're not gonna find a man like that if you're hanging around with Jonathan all the time. I'm like, bitch, fuck you. Like, I'm great company, number one.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, my boys themselves will sometimes say like sometimes I'll say a comment or whatever, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so single. And they're like, literally, you hang out with us every single weekend. Like, you're not gonna meet a straight guy if you do this. I'm like, okay, fair. That's fine. So totally fair.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, I'm not necessarily looking for that. And I don't go out with them because I'm like, oh my God, like I need some sort of validation or attention or, you know, like, can you, like, I don't meet a gay guy and think, oh my God, do you have a brother or a cousin that I can hook up with? Or no, I'm just like, okay, do I like you as a person? I don't care what sexuality you are. If you're fun and you're down, let's go. Let's have a good time.
Yeah.
That's what I love. And so when it comes to girls befriending, I guess, gay guys, I love girls that are there for a good time. They're having fun, or like they're seeing the guys as like people, right? They're not just saying like, oh, they're gay guys. So yes, don't get me wrong. There's a level of comfort that happens when I'm hanging out with them because I know like they're not trying to sleep with me.
Right, right.
100%. I feel super safe.
Mm-hmm. You could dance to Safaera all you want. You can shake your ass. You can grind on any of them. And you know that it's not sexual.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not sexual. And there's a comfort in that.
And that's why a lot of girls love hanging around like
So take note, straight guys. Like, you should know this. Like, as long as you make a girl feel very comfortable, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And so there's that. So once I take that layer away, as long as I'm having a good time and I feel like I'm myself, then I'm happy. I have an issue with girls that treat gay guys as an accessory. And I've always said that. And unfortunately, there are more girls like that than there are of me. I have met so many girls and I have a lot of girlfriends that they've been friends with, you know, gay guys a lot longer and they're amazing. And they, exactly like me, they treat them as a person. They don't treat them as like, you know, a stereotype or something. They don't, like, they don't call them and say, oh my God, like, so should I wear this? Do I look cute? Like, not every gay guy knows everything about fashion or women's fashion. Like, I mean, what the fuck?
Like, if you look at some of the gays out here, you'll know.
Right. Like,
that was just shade, by the way.
I don't make assumptions on that. Like, I treat them as a normal person.
Right.
You know, like, there, but there are other girls that will go and, like, I don't know, they'll go out one night and then they'll say, like, their intention is to either get some sort of attention or, and this kind of bothers me, like they don't know boundaries, right? So again, because I don't treat gay guys as gay guys and I'm not thinking like, well, it's fine because I can make out with them and they're not going to get turned on and I can just go up to them and start making out with them. I don't do that because I wouldn't do that with anybody. I wouldn't just like violate their personal space.
Yeah. Who does that anyway?
I have been around girls that are, they're like, oh, it doesn't matter. I can literally grab this guy's face and start making out with him. Don't get me wrong. There are gay guys that are totally into that.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah.
100%. And everybody wants to make out with everybody. At the end of the day, we're all human. We all want to fuck.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, I just respect other people's boundaries.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Yeah.
So I take issue with girls that just don't respect boundaries. That's my thing. Like, just because he's gay doesn't give you the right to just like treat him like an accessory.
Yeah.
And it's not just like, okay, well, I'm only going to go out with my gays once a month and I go out with them to like have a good time so they can buy me drinks and then I can go home. Like, that also bothers me too. Like,
there are girls like that.
Yes.
Oh, and my gosh. I mean, I have girlfriends, like, but none of them are problematic like that. Like, they're all like, oh my God, let's go out. Okay. And let's just have a good time and eat shit. Like, and that's it.
And I'm all for that. And there are plenty of girls that are like that, but there are also some that will just take advantage of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that always rubs me the wrong way. So when I think of the term fag hag, going back to that, that's kind of what I think of. Like,
okay,
somebody that's just attaching themselves to a group and knowingly saying that. And don't get me wrong, like, I have learned, so one anecdote that I'll share. I remember one time I was talking to a friend and I had taken a picture with a bunch of the boys and she gave me a caption for it. And she's like, oh my God, something, I forgot. I don't even remember what the caption was, but it referred to them as my gays.
Okay.
And I remember I felt a little weird about it, but I didn't think too much into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember writing it. And afterwards, one of my friends actually called attention to it.
Oh, okay.
And I realized, I was like, this is wrong. Like, it's fucked up. Like, I would never post.
What did your
friend
say though? I'm curious.
I think it was like, I think he just made a joke about it. Like, he wasn't even actually seriously upset about it. And he's like, oh, my gays. Mm-hmm. And it was just putting everyone, all of the gays in a group as if they're supposed to be divided or sectionalized. And that was what the issue was. And again, it wasn't him looking at it that way. It was me. Like me taking a step back and saying, what if I hung out, like, what if I hung out with a bunch of black friends?
Yeah.
I would never, ever write something like, my blacks. Like, that's fucked up.
But you know what's interesting? Because if I hung out with a bunch of my whore friends, my whores.
My whores. I just feel like that's a very homogenous thing to do. Like, just place people in one group and then assume that everybody is the same. Because even though you mean it in a nice way, like, obviously my intent
was not
to... Yeah,
it's playful.
Right, my intent was not to, like, put them away. It's still, if you really, really deep, like, look into the deep rootedness of it, it's still placing them in a box away from everybody else. So... I found it, like, myself found it problematic. I remember I took it down, I apologized to them, and I remembered that, like, from that day on, I was always going to make an effort to not put them in a box, right? Mm-hmm. To not say, like, so even when my other straight friends are talking to me and they're like, oh, Daniela, are you hanging out with the gays? And I'm like, I'm hanging out with my guys, I'm hanging out with my boys, because that's who they are. Like, they're not gays. They don't deserve to be put in a box and just, like, you know... Like, all of them are the same. Like, they're not. They're individual people. I don't care if, like, what if one of them is bi? What if one of them is not gay? What if one of them, like, loves to make out with girls on the weekend? Like, I just choose to be friends with the person and not with the sexuality.
Okay.
That's it. So.
Valid. Yeah. Well, I have just to say, like, I appreciate that from you because, like, I first of all, I need to stop saying like a lot. That's number one. Number two, I appreciate you being so aware or self-aware of those things because, I mean, I honestly never see any harm in that, like, oh, my gays. I'm like, yeah, bitch, like, I'm your gay. And I'd better be the number one gay. So, like, I always see it as playful, but I never know what, you know, how someone else next to me is going to take it. Or, you know, like, we hang out in social settings all the time. Maybe not because of COVID, not so much. But prior to that, like, we get caught up so much in just, like, having a good time and laughing and getting the next drink and getting buzzed and, you know, just dancing and getting messy. But how many of us are really actually taking the time to sit there and have meaningful conversations with our friends or with these people within our social circles to really get to know them and to really understand, you know, what makes them tick or what are they feeling under their skin? Like, would they find this offensive? Would they not find this offensive? We don't really know anyone's journey. And I that's something that I have to work on personally, even with, like, my close group of friends. Like, I don't know what pisses them off sometimes.
Yeah, and it's a learning process again.
Like, yeah, it is. It is.
I had to get off my high horse when that happened, when I said that. And I was like, oh, I'm here going around saying, like, oh, like, sometimes I'll, like, get a little bit sour with some girls that get brought around because I'm like, you're literally just using my friend to get free drinks.
Okay, but you know what? See, I never knew about this. And the reason why I, like what you just said right now, but one reason why I wanted to bring this up was because not too long ago, I had read a couple of blog posts about girls who do see gays as accessories. So they're oftentimes they'll go to, like, gay clubs for their bachelorette, for example. You know, and then it's like, okay, well, now you're just, like, doing this because you really usually wouldn't do it. And here you are looking for a good time in a place that I consider to be a safe space.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know. It's a double-edged sword because I'm like, you know what? Here you are coming into my environment because you're around the people that you consider to be closest to you. It's a bachelorette. You know, you live this sad, pathetic life in the middle of nowhere with your boring fiance and you really don't get to go out. So you're just like, you know what? I'm going to go out. Sorry, I didn't mean to go that in. But here you are, you know, you decide, oh, hey, I want to go to a gay club and I want to be around a bunch of, like, hot men, shirtless, who are doing all kinds of debaucherous things. And I want to do this on my bachelorette because I know I'm not going to get to do this on any other night. I'm like, okay, girl, you know what? Like, I'll let you have your moment. Yeah. But then what happens while you're in that space? Like, are you being loud? Are you being disrespectful? Are you being obnoxious? But you know what? That all comes from home. Like, you don't go into any environment and be obnoxious. That's number one. Number two, I appreciate the fact that, you know, you do have a segment of people that do come into our safe spaces just to mingle, just to enjoy a drink, just to enjoy the environment, because they genuinely do enjoy the environment. And in this blog post that I read once upon a time, this writer was like basically complaining about that. There are too many straight people in the gay club right now for my comfort. This is a place where I come to let loose. And it's like, you know what? I understand that. But at the same time, I appreciate because I've been watching The Crown. I don't know if you guys know that. I appreciate the fact that people are opening up to being in environments where, you know, that we consider safe spaces, because how do I put this? It shows a signs of acceptance. Like, you are taking that step forward to have us in your life or to be a part of your life. But this is where the message gets mixed also, because then you have people out here who are champions for change, and they're like, no, this is what we need to do different. This is what needs to change in order for us to be accepted and blah, 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 blah. Do your own homework. Don't depend on me to tell you what it is or to educate you. Educate yourself. And then you have people going out there educating themselves and saying, you know what? I like this. Let me be a part of it, or let me see how I can be part of it. And then they get the door slammed in their face. And that's not okay either. So
It's a delicate balance. Like, I get where he was coming from, but at the same time, too, I also feel like he's not taking into effect, like, or I'm assuming that the author is a gay man, mm-hmm. but he's not taking into account that sometimes if women are having a bachelor party in a gay club, it's because they also feel that that is a safe space for them.
Okay, yeah.
So, like I said earlier, you know, I can go to a gay bar and I feel safer sometimes than going to a straight bar, because it could be something as small as, like, I know a guy's not going to come up behind me and grab my ass,
mm-hmm.
which it seems trivial, but like that happens in a straight club and but it's uncomfortable it can ruin your night.
It also happens at the gay club where gay men harass other gay men.
100%. And I can't speak to that experience. I can only speak to the experience.
So then I could turn around and be like, I feel safer in a straight place because a gay man isn't going to grab my ass.
But you say, like, it's the same concept, essentially. Like, you're just in a space where you
but
know
But then if I'm in
happen.
A straight place, I don't feel safe to be who I am. So it's like, gays, what the fuck are we going to do now?
No, and again, I would never, I would never compare my experience as a straight woman to a gay man's experience. Like, there's just, I can't.
Yeah.
And I can only just do the best that I can as... And that's why, for me, my filter is like, do I love this person as a friend, as a human being? And for me, like, the relationships that I have, the most important thing for me are the relationships that I have with people, with my family, with my friends. And so
and
I
with Jonathan.
And with Jonathan, whom I've known for the longest. And so it's like, I love you as a friend, and I care about you as a friend, and I may not always do it the right way, and I may not always get it right, but, like, everything comes from the intent of me being a good friend to you, not, like, I love you as my gay, or I love you as my gay friend, like, and again, there are some people that don't have an issue with it, that they don't care, like, they would have probably seen my story, like, of me with all of my boys and saying, like, the gays... And not even blinked and felt fine or felt some sort of pride that, you know, I was so special to them. But I don't know if everyone feels that same way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I always take into account. Yeah. I love you all equally, is what I'm trying to say.
No, and you mentioned something that, like, was very, like, important. Like, we don't know what you said something. We don't know everyone's.
Yeah, like, you might have been fine. Like, you said it earlier. Yeah. Like, I'm fine with my girlfriend saying, like, hey, my gays or whatever, like, not a big deal.
Yeah.
And I also, and again, it all goes back to boundaries too, right? Like, I respect people's boundaries. Like, I respect sometimes, just like they respect me.
Yeah.
When I want to have a girls' night and I just want to have, like, 3 or 4 close girlfriends over so we can talk about whatever the fuck we want. And so when they have their boys' nights and they want to, like, just hang out with their other gay friends, like, I don't sit there and pout and say, why was I not included? Like, how come I didn't get to go? Like, fuck that. Like, whatever. You're my friend. Like, if you feel like you want to be around other people that are exactly like you in the sense of, like, you know, you're a homosexual male, go for it. I don't give a shit. Like, that's, I'm not, you know.
See, and another thing that I had read in this blog post, I've seen this trend a lot where gays complain about straight girls and about straight people being in their safe spaces. I get it, gays. I fucking get it. I get it. But my issue is the following. When straight people come into these safe spaces of ours, sometimes they have that sense of entitlement.
Yes.
Where, you know, they feel, going back to what I was saying about being like all like obnoxious and shit. Like, listen, this is where it's a double-edged sword again, because we hear that obnoxious girl saying, yes, work, bitch, blah, blah, blah. And I cringe when I hear that. I'm like, can someone get this girl? Whose friend is this? But then at the same time, I'm like, all right, girl, like, you're here. It's your first time. We can obviously tell. We're not going to be too harsh on you, but we're your friends. And I mean, listen, we all go into spaces without knowing what to expect sometimes. And that's okay. I don't remember what the fuck I was going to say. Point is, how do we overcome this so that everyone is happy, Daniela? Because, you know, I don't want to upset the gays. I don't want to upset the straights. You know, as it is, you know, the gay approval rating has gone down, according to GLAAD, by 2 points.
What?
Yes, there's a gay approval rating for those of you who didn't know. And you know what? I see why. And I feel that the gays and everyone all together has become all too trigger happy. And that the last thing we want to do is piss off our allies. The last thing we want to do is piss off the people who support us, the people who want to engage with us. Now, I understand that at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, you want to kiki and you want to party with Cardi and all this shit. But like, are you voting in favor of our rights? Are you thinking about us every time we vote? You know, we're learning so many new things day by day, and we have to be more patient with each other. And because of that, I just feel like everyone needs to pump the brakes and take a fucking chill pill, because we don't want to upset anyone, no matter what side of the spectrum, in regards to this specific topic, because
right.
I could say what I was just about to say, and people are going to be like, oh, but what about... And we're not going to go there. We're talking about straight people in gay spaces and gay to straight relations in terms of, you know, female to male homosexual relations. So don't get it twisted, y'all, because I'm, again, this is a cancel free environment. Don't even try it, bitch. We're here to learn, we're here to grow, and we're here to do better. So how can we do better, Daniela? What are your thoughts?
The only thing that I can do, and I can be an ally, obviously, in every sense of the word, and do the best that I can to make sure that I am respecting boundaries, thoughts, whatever it is that anybody else has, because I can only come from a straight woman's experience. Like, mm-hmm. I can't speak and say, well, every gay would be offended if I said this. I don't know. Yeah. Like, I'm not a gay man. I don't know your experience. I don't know anything. All I can do is try to be the best person that I can be to make you comfortable in whatever situation you are. So, like, as a gay man, you have every right, if I were to invade your safe space, regardless of who I am or what I do, and say, hey, listen, I don't feel comfortable with you here because you're a straight woman, and I have to respect that. That's fine. You can also say, I don't give a fuck if you're here or not. Like, just have a good time.
Yeah.
And I can respect that too. Yeah. So for me, I feel like I don't really have a say in it. I can just support whatever it is that my friends want to say. Oh, sorry. I have a cute boy calling me.
Ooh, I'm jealous. My phone is dry. I only get responses to memes. And the stupid shit I post on my stories. Speaking of which, like, I enjoyed discussing this with you because, you know, the purpose of Yaspora is to open people's minds to all kinds of things that we may know about or we may not know about. And this is honestly something that happens, and it's, like, pretty... It's a common occurrence, especially in like bigger cities. If you go to LA, for example, the last time I was out in LA, I was shocked. I was stunned by the amount of straight girls that were hanging out at the gay club. And this was in LA. In okay. WeHo. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I don't know, because I know how it is in LA. If you think Miami is flashy, LA is even fucking like,
Is it? Is it though?
Listen, you don't...
I have my thoughts on Miami and LA and New York.
Listen, with Miami, you could just walk around with like a Gucci belt and it's like, all right, you have a Gucci belt. Like in LA, it's like, oh, I have a Gucci belt and I work for so-and-so and I know so-and-so and I'm and this, that, and third, and I'm hanging out in the hottest places and I'm taking all the pictures and posting them on social media.
I hate that. Uh-huh. It's a very shallow way to live. But I also respect it a little bit because I feel like that, and I've had this conversation the other day with a friend. I'm like,
oh my God, I love it. So it's still fresh in your mind.
It's still fresh. And I remember because we were talking about New York, LA, and Miami, and like the issues with dating across, and like the people, right? And
oh, you said dating. That was actually going to be my next topic.
So in New York, I'm like, everybody is focused on themselves. Everybody is zeroed in on in advancing their career, their objectives, their goals. And it's like, we don't really give a shit about you, right? Mm-hmm. It's not about like status for New York. It's unless you can help them elevate their status in some sort of career sense. In LA, is it very shallow? 100%. It's super shallow and it's all about who you know and like who you can get in touch with. But there's a sense of ambition there.
Mm-hmm.
In Miami, and here's the issue that I have with Miami. It's very, very shallow, and there's no sense of ambition. It's all about, I'm sorry, and that's my hot take for the night. But in Miami, it's all about, like, flashiness and, like, look at everything that I have and what you think of me. Even though I'm not working towards something, I'm just working towards getting approval from everybody else.
Oh.
I'm sorry, but like at least in LA,
you hit the nail on the head. You hit the nail on the head.
At least in LA, like it's like you feel kind of cheap because people are like, "Oh, who do you know? Who do?" But you have to at least respect that hustle in them to say like they're trying to work towards something. So they're trying to, maybe they're trying to exploit whatever connections you have,
right?
But they're working towards something. In Miami, it's more like, "Oh, look at me, look at me, look at." I have a boat and I go out on like the weekends and stuff and everything that I have. But like,
I have 40 people on my boat just so that I can pay $20 for gas.
Exactly. So it's not really like they're working towards something. Yeah. They're just working towards the next thing that they can show off.
Yeah,
that's my issue with Miami.
You hit the nail on the head, like, right there. Like, because I'm like, what is my issue with Miami? Listen, I love my city, but the people out here need to do better. This is the city where everyone comes to be flashy. And by all means, come and be flashy out here, but, bitch, carry yourself a little better.
I'm literally listening to everything that you said, but I had to text the cute boy back.
You have to text the cute boy, please. I don't want to interfere with your plans.
I'm totally joking. Go ahead.
No, but yeah, I've been trying to figure out like what the hell is the deal in Miami. And in terms of dating, for example, I'm trying to figure it out. Like, what is the deal here?
Don't ask me. I have literally lost all hope. I am so sour, so jaded, so like I'm the worst person to ask about all of this because, ugh, bleh. But I will also recognize that I am my biggest like enemy in the whole situation, right? Because I will literally sit there and whine and hate Miami and like the people in Miami are trash and all the guys suck and everybody knows each other. And then
Miami gays, are you listening? We have the same struggles.
Same exact struggles. Everybody is so shallow and nobody cares. And because what I always say about Miami is that it's Neverland, right? Like you never have to grow up. And that in a way has its appeal. It's like, who doesn't like, it really is Neverland. Like you can live in Miami and be 45, 50, 55 years old and still live a life of luxury and go out to all these places. Like, yes, maybe at 55, you're at Blue Martini and Kendall. But you know what? That's a lot more fun than if you were to live in Alabama and you're 55 and, you know, you can't really go anywhere because you're old.
You're right. So, you're right.
You know, there's a sense of like being able to say, hey, I'm having a good time. And you can have that good time well into your older age. And again, I'm not saying 55 is old. I hope nobody 55 is listening to this, but if you are, you are not old.
My demographics haven't. No,
you are not old.
I have people in their 40s.
We're a little old, but which is fine. Not that old, right?
But no one in their 50s,
right? So, like, if you are at Blue Martini and Kendall, at least you can be at Blue Martini and Kendall and live that and like be authentic and be fine. You don't have to grow up.
Yeah,
that's my point. Like, and again, I can only speak from a straight woman's experience, but I can imagine that, like, just the biological portion of it, like as a man, you really don't have to grow up.
Yeah,
you can do whatever you want. You can fuck around forever. So it's like there's really nothing to say, hey, hold on, I want to settle down. And when I say settle down, I don't mean like settle down and get married and have kids, because not everybody's goals are the same. Like, yeah, I would never say, like, everybody's goal at the end of the day is to settle down, get married, and have kids. Like,
fuck that. I already established that I don't want that shit.
Correct. Same here.
Yeah.
What my issue is, like, maybe not everybody else is okay with that. And that goes back to Miami being this vortex of seeking people's approval at all times.
Yeah. That's so, what it is.
Yes, I'm sure it's probably really, really difficult for a gay man, but at least you guys have in your back pocket the advantage of a city that is so multicultural, so open, and that you can be a 60-year-old man at Twist having a great time, and you're not going to get judgment for it.
You're not, and that's the beautiful thing about Miami. I love that. Even though, like, I'll admit, I'll go out to the bar, and then I'll see that single gay old man, and I'm like, oh, I don't want that to be me.
Right. And that for you, you don't want that to be you. You don't know that guy could be living his best life, and that could be exactly absolutely. What he wants.
Unless he's single and he has a yacht and like and he hangs out, like he spends his summers in the south of France, you know, drinking rosé.
But the fact that you know that you don't want that, I think is enough to tell you that Miami is difficult to be in, because that's accepted and that's okay.
Yeah.
So the same thing for me as a straight woman, like I can go out to a bar and sometimes I'll see people in their late 50s and they're like at the bar. Who knows? It could be their birthday. It could be the one time they leave the house.
They could be dying, and this is like their last hurrah. Exactly.
But I will.
I'm sorry to go so morbid.
I know, but
but you never know.
You really don't. And sometimes I'll make the mistake, and I'll call it a mistake because it's a judgment call on my end. But I'm not perfect. I'm a human, and I'll look at him and be like, Lord, if I get to that age and I'm doing this, like somebody just shoot me. And it sucks, but like, I know that that's not what I want. I don't want to be throwing back shots at the wharf when I'm 55.
If you're 55 and throwing shots at the wharf, honey, we need to have a conversation.
Like, thankfully, I'm not 55. I'm like young.
The
and
wharf,
I can still
by
that.
The way, is a local establishment. They just opened one up in Fort Lauderdale. Here I am giving all this free fucking promo. But the wharf, it's a hangout spot for like the collegiates.
It's changed. Like, when it first opened, typical Miami, right? So, like, if you know anything about Miami, a new place will open up and it'll be all the rage, and it's a really nice place, and it's a nice place to go. It's got a great vibe. And then give it like 60 days or so, and fuck it, I'm gonna say something super controversial. The people from Kendall come and they just ruin it. I'm sorry, but like the Kendall crowd ruins it. And Kendall, for those that don't live in Miami, is a is a suburb in County of Miami.
I am spiraling around this room.
Jonathan is losing his mind right now. I'm sorry, but they come and they cheapen the crowd a little bit.
Yes,
okay?
I 1,000% agree. And the same shit has happened to Wynwood. And this is...
I used to live 5 minutes from Wynwood, and I am disgusted. Like,
so
I hate Wynwood.
We're giving y'all a tour of Miami to anyone who doesn't know about Miami right now. We're giving you a sense of culture. Like, fuck South Beach and like all the touristy shit. Like, if you're gonna come down to Miami, live like a fucking local. That's number one.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not all about the Clevelander. Like, please stop.
Oh my god. That's number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wynwood is our arts district. Okay. And it started off as like this really, really, really rough neighborhood that it was just warehouses. Then it became very gentrified with the opening of their first bar. Then once that bar opened, another bar opened, and then another bar opened, and then restaurants, and then stores, and typical gentrification shit. But then, you know, Wynwood was this like spot where you could go and you can enjoy, you know, these hidden gems that Miami had.
Yeah.
Where you could, oh, you know, this is a different experience for me. You know, like you could go to a bar and feel like, oh shit, I feel like I'm in Brooklyn right now, if you're familiar with Brooklyn, or like
very hipster, just like off the beaten path, not, you know, all about the glamour of Miami. Like, it wasn't very like 80s Miami Vice vibes. It was a little bit more grungier, a little bit more laid back,
it's
casual.
Very chill. You go there with jeans and a t-shirt, and you go there to have some some well-priced alcohol, and you have a good time.
Relatively.
But then what happens is these places begin to attract people who aren't used to going out or being in social environments, and they don't know how to act. And there's a certain etiquette that comes along with going out and being in social spaces. And I say this being someone who goes out a lot. Like, let's eliminate COVID from the situation. you know, I go out, I've been in holes in the walls, I've been in like bougie uppity places. I've seen it all. I don't discriminate. And I understand that, you know, we all come from different backgrounds and we're products of our own environment. But there are instances where, you know, you are going to see like the hillbilly out at like a bougie bar. And you're going to be like, oh, he's not from these parts.
If you're at a bar with the hillbilly who's acting correctly, has the right etiquette and stuff, you're not going to know they're a hillbilly.
Exactly.
The second they start drawing attention to themselves and they're, you know, acting discordant and they're drawing like the type of attention that you don't want and they're just cheapening the entire experience, that's where you're saying that's the hillbilly.
Yeah.
So that's what has happened to a lot of these nice up and coming bars, is that, you know, a flock of them will come in and then all of a sudden it's just like you don't want to be in an environment where you feel cheap or you just feel like you're not really getting a nice experience because the person next to you is just, you know, throwing themselves on the floor and they don't know how to act. Like, maybe that was a little harsh of me to say.
Listen, again, the purpose of Yas Bro is for all of us to take a step back and assess ourselves and be like, you know what? Like, I want to come correctly when I'm in a certain space.
Yeah.
And it's okay. You know what? You want to have a good time. You want to scream like, you know, when it's appropriate.
Right. Everybody has those stories. Everybody has that one time that they just took it way too far and they act. I have those stories. God knows. But when those stories or those moments become popular at a certain event space, that's what I mean that it cheapens the experience. Like, yes. I don't want to, every single time that I go to the Wharf, I tend to see girls getting drinks spilled on, girls acting stupid, men like throwing up on the sidewalk. Like, that is what cheapens the experience. Yes. Because I'm like, I don't want to be there one day when the guy accidentally throws up on me. Like, it just... And that's why you can easily say, I don't want to go to this place because that is the experience that happens to be there. That's what happens. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the business of Miami. That's what it is. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong in necessarily saying that, because if that was the experience that you want, if you wanted something a little grungier, a little crazier, then you would go there. And that's how these places have their reputation. Like, don't get me wrong. A place like Liv, for example, right? Which is a club on the beach. Liv is a club on the beach. I'm not trash talking Liv, but I'm saying, like, they have their standard, their quote unquote standards, right? Where, like, you
like
cannot.
Like, Vegas has their standards.
Exactly. Like, you can't get into this club unless you're dressed. Their bullshit standards. Right. You're dressed a certain way or you're acting a certain, like, somebody that could get into a club in, or like a bar in Wynwood drunk with throw up on their shirt could not get into a club like Liv, right? And Liv, I'm sure, has some sort of pride in those standards and everything. I still think that it sucks. But but they have those standards, and that's fine. That's why it's okay for you to say, hey, I don't want to go to this place because the experience of going there has been cheapened by a certain behavior that is just very prevalent in the space.
But the thing is that, like, Wynwood, it's such a diverse crowd. But lately, I've been seeing a lot more of... you know, people acting out and people like not behaving. Or listen, act out all you want. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me more is when you're coming out here and you're disrespecting people by doing things like bumping into them and not saying, excuse me.
Yeah.
By using hateful slurs, like you're there and you're like, oh, that faggot over there, for example, that I will not tolerate.
I would lose my
That I do not tolerate. And I've seen that. I've experienced that a handful of times.
I'm so sorry.
And I'm like, okay, like, you know what? Here I am in Wynwood. This is our arts district we have deemed as being exceedingly progressive because it's a district of artists where we encourage individuality and, you know, it's an eclectic vibe and whatnot. But then you have people coming into this space who know nothing about the culture of Wynwood or this community that has been built, you know, on the backs and the shoulders and the sweat and tears of artists, of unique thinkers. And then you have people coming in here shitting on that by disrespecting the people that come here to enjoy this part of town that's known for what it's known for. And that's where I have the issue. And that's where I'm going to sit here and I'm going to call out people to do fucking better and say, take a step back and say, all right, you know what? I understand that there are people of different lifestyles. I'm going to be seeing a lot of things that I'm not used to seeing in my daily life. And because of that, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to respect the space that I'm in, and I'm going to
enjoy the space for what it's catering to. You know, a place to get cheap drinks, to get cheap thrills, to dance, and to have a good time.
Yeah.
And I'm not seeing that in Wynwood anymore. You know, now
there
I walk
through. There's a nice place. I would shout it out, but I kind of want you to get a sponsorship from it.
Which place is it?
I actually went there yesterday with a few of my friends. But I remember my friend looked at me and said, this is the type of place that a few weeks from now, it's going to be hard to get into. And then once it's hard to get into, it's going to get overrun by the mm-hmm. same crowd that ruined the Wharf. And I was like, fuck, that sucks. Like, I hate that we have so many of those places that we have, like my friends and I will go to the place like, this is so nice, this is so nice. And then, ruined.
Yeah.
Like, that's the downside. And I guess that happens not just in Miami, but I'm sure in places in LA,
absolutely.
And New York. Like,
in LA, it happens all the time. Like, I've seen it. Like, the yeah. people go to these places, you know, it's just like, oh yeah, here I am dining at Catch.
Yeah. And again, it's not about like having some sort of bougie, luxurious crowd where you can only get in because you're of a certain standard. No. At all. It's just about like the behaviors that take
yes.
place in that.
Yes.
Because I want to be able to go to a Wynwood bar wearing sneakers and jeans and feel like I'm having a good time without having to deal with like just atrocities. Like, that's just me.
Yeah. No, I
like,
I feel
I'm not
the same
about
way.
Like, I need to wear like a fucking bandage dress from Fashion Nova and like heels to be able to get in a place. Like, that's not the vibe that I'm looking for, guys. I'm just like, I want to be able to be in a place where I'm comfortable with the people around, that I don't feel like, oh my God, like, ugh, this guy literally has vomit on his shirt right now, and he's coming up to me and yeah. talking, like, stop.
You or, know? You know, I don't want to walk into an environment where the vibe is like, oh shit, like, there's a group of guys over there in that corner that's, you know, going
right.
to notice me with my friends, and they're going to be like, hey, look at that faggot right there. Like,
that's awful. Like, I couldn't, I get so, so defensive about that if that were even uttered in my presence with my friends, I think I would lose my shit. Like, I would become like this little mama bear. Like, don't even fuck with my friends. Like, I don't like that at
I
all.
Appreciate that. See, this is why it's important to take care of our allies, guys. You know?
Like, that's awful. I am so glad that I've never been in that kind of environment. What I have been in an environment, like, I have been around people that don't mind using like gay slurs.
Mm-hmm.
And it bothers me to a core, and I've had to call them out and like, yeah. listen, I don't like that. Even if it's in front of my friends, even if they're okay with it, as a friend of them that knows people that like knows friends that wouldn't be okay with it, I'm not okay with it.
Yeah.
And like, come correct. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
I hate it. And that's just not, and that's not for the gays, for like any friends, like the use of the N word or anything. I'm like, please don't, not in my presence. Like,
you know, I,
it's unnecessary.
I started using the F word among my friends, but I use it.
But you know what? You have the right to. Like, yeah. I am not going to say that. I'm just not.
But like, I'll use it like among like my really, really close friends. Like, if one yeah. of them is in a relationship, for example, and he does something really cute for his boyfriend, I'm like, okay, you're such a like,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I'll say like, oh my God, you're so cute. But like, I'm not that like person who's going to be like, oh my God, you're so cute. That's so sweet. Like, I'm
right. Like, I'm, you're trying to poke fun at them. Yeah.
I'm very like blunt, and I like to poke fun, and like, I celebrate it at the same yeah, time. So yeah. I use the F word with like celebration behind it. Like, it took a lot for me to overcome, you know, hearing that word. And I'm being candid right now. It took a lot for me to overcome yeah. hearing that word, because I heard that word for many years of my life, and it destroyed me, you know, all through elementary school and all through middle school. And, you know, like, even hearing it at home, for example. So the fact that I can use it now comfortably among my close-knit group of friends
yeah.
as a term of like endearment, I'm just like, you know what, I turned it around. I made a negative a positive. It's still a nasty word, because you'll run into a hillbilly who will be waving his Confederate flag and be like, fuck you faggots. Oh fuck,
yeah, it was rough.
Well, you know, that's like
yeah.
my issue with like going to gay clubs. Because you listen, I go out a lot. I know yeah. you go out a lot. And you know, I like to think of myself as like a social chameleon. Mm-hmm. And my tolerance for being around people who don't know how to fucking act is like non-existent. So when I go to like these all ages clubs, or like these clubs that are like 18 and over night or whatever, I'm like, these kids are bumping into me, number one. They're knocking my drink over. They're stepping on my shoes. They don't know how to fucking act. And I understand. They'll learn. They'll learn. And this is me saying that, like, Jonathan, be patient with yourself because not everyone is going to be at your level or your level of expertise in terms of, like, going out.
You are so lucky you feel that way, though, because when that happens to me at the clubs that I'm at or, like, the bars that I'm at, I'm like, oh my God, am I too old to be here? That's what happens to me. I'm like, holy shit, why are there so many 12-year-olds around me? And I'm like, they're not 12. Like, if I'm at a bar and, like, people are spilling drinks on me and they look way too young, I'm like, you don't know how to act. I have to stop and think, they don't know how to act. Should I even be here? Like, is this even okay?
Yeah. No, but you know what? Like, it wasn't until a couple of years ago when I was out at this club and it was an 18 or over night. And I was walking by this group of, like, younger homosexual males. And then they started heckling at me. Damn, daddy, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, first of all, what we're not going to do is refer to me as daddy. That's number one. Number two.
You take offense at that?
Like, I don't, but I was just like, I'm too young to be called daddy. Like, you're using the wrong term.
I feel like
right
that's
now.
Such a compliment, though. Like,
I mean,
yes,
yeah, I guess.
Like, you got a little bit of salt and pepper in your beard
I
right
do,
now.
I do. And oh my God, the gray hairs that are coming out on the side of my head right now, it's shocking. Yeah. So, like, I don't take offense to it now. Yeah. I'm just like, all right, fine. Like, I guess I'll take it. But, like, 2 years ago when I heard it for the first time, I was like, what the fuck? But no, even with, like, going out as, like, an adult male, like, the other day, well, not the other day, but not too long ago, I had gone to this really popular gay club down here, Miami Twist. Someone got mad that I stepped on their shoes twice, and they turned around to look at me like they were going to fight me. And I'm like, sir, we're at a club. We're, like, we're packed.
Like it happens,
We're packed like sardines. Then you have your people at the club, like, specifically the gay club. Where you have your gays who think that their song comes on and it's their music video and then they start flailing their arms around and then they start hitting you and all this shit. They don't say, excuse me. They don't even acknowledge. They're just living life carefree. I'm like, girl, you know what? Get your life. I sure. But then you have to take note of the fact that, like, when you're at a club, look down at your feet. We're going to do this exercise together, unless you're driving. If you're not driving, then you know what? Put your feet together on the ground. Draw a square around your feet.
Yeah.
Okay?
Jonathan and I are literally doing this, by the way.
It should be a 12-inch by 12-inch square. Okay?
Okay.
That is what you are confined to. If you are doing anything,
this
like...
This is pre-COVID times?
It's post-COVID? This is pre-COVID times, okay?
I was going to say, I'm like... Listen, so CDC says it's 6 feet.
If you're on a dance floor or if you're in a place where, you know what, it looks like they're reaching max capacity, you need to start thinking within that 12 by 12 inch frame so that you're not infiltrating anyone's space. And even if people are infiltrating your space, at least you're in yours. Your drink is secured. You are comfortable enough that you can breathe. Walk comfortably,
right?
And no one is interfering with the fact that, you know what, you're standing here or anything. Yes, people are going to bump into you, but let's create the culture of not bumping into people.
And if you do, like, because it happens, like, I am extremely clumsy. I will bump into people. I don't normally bump into people, but if I have, the first thing I do is, I'm so sorry. I really apologize.
Yeah.
Like, if I spilled their drink, which has only happened maybe once or twice, and I have been plastered out of my mind, I am at least in a sober mind to buy them another drink because I think it's so fucking rude that, like, especially somebody that just had a drink, you literally bump into them, you spill them, and then you walk away.
Come on.
Sorry, my bad. Like, no, fuck you. Like, buy me another drink. Two times that has happened to me, they've just walked away like, oh, sorry, my bad. I'm like, fuck you. Like, this is an $18 drink, like, depending on where I'm at. And
yeah.
This cocktail is...
That's another thing. Drinks are too expensive in fucking Miami for them to be getting knocked out of our fucking hands. Okay, do better, people. Come on.
Please do better, okay?
Shit.
There are so many other places in the United States that I've been at that I remember when I went to Chicago. Oh, I went with one of my close friends. Arlene. Like, we went to Wrigley.
She's giving me shit for going to Chicago so many times. I'm just like, you hate Chicago so much, but you're basically living there right now.
Amazing.
I'm like, I hate you. Shut up.
I will never forget going to Wrigleyville. We went to a bar, and I go up to the bar, and I was like, I have two whiskey sours. Don't judge me. This is the time that sours were okay. I'm like, I'll have two whiskey sours, and they're like $6. And I'm like, I know, two whiskey sours. And they go, $6.
$6.
And I go, I'm sorry, what? And they're like, $6. I go, I'll have four. Like, so like, Jonathan is very Miami, very proud of his Miami roots, very much. And I'm always like, fuck Miami. I'm not Miami. I don't like.
But you know what? Like, the beautiful thing about Miami is that we have this like mesh of cultures.
Yes.
100%. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone to like a different city, for example. Like, I've gone to LA and I've been like, okay, I need to find a place similar to El Patio. And everyone tells me like, oh yeah, there's a Latin night, but like, it's mostly like Mexican Tejano music. And I'm like, it's not the same.
No, it's absolutely not the same. Like, you need that kind of Caribbean flair.
Like, I'm not trying to hop around in like boots and a cowboy hat. Like, I'm trying to shake my ass to some dembow and like to some
exactly.
And I can't do that when you're playing La Chola. Like,
no, I have always said it. Like, Miami is the most unique place that I have ever been in. And as much as I will talk shit about it, as much as I get frustrated with it, like, in Miami, I'll be here and I'm like, fuck this place. You can't date anybody here. It's Neverland. Nobody ever grows up, blah, blah, blah. But the second that you come from my city when I am not in Miami, fuck you. Mm-hmm. No, because there's absolutely no place like Miami. Oh, is LA cool? Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Sure. But you can go to San Diego and find nicer views and nicer people. New York, absolutely amazing. Probably one of the best cities in the world. But you know what? It's also, I'm going to go down way of road. But New York has its other, like, comparable cities. There's absolutely no place like Miami.
There really isn't. There really isn't. And you know what? Because of that, and because we're doing such amazing promo for our fucking city that, you know, because of this city, Daniela and I met. And
that is true. That
and
is true.
You know what? Several years later, we're here sitting on a podcast, like talking all these amazing things about.
If we
all these
met when
places.
We were 11 years old, like we have been friends for sure over a decade.
Yeah.
Going on almost in 2 years, it'll be about two decades. Almost
shit.
20 years.
My God.
Yes. Ugh, I'm so old. almost 20 years.
Yeah.
Like 18 years or so.
No, I have to say, yeah. Oh my God.
That's insane.
That is insane.
And I have loved you and I have accepted you and I have everything about you, like everything about, I wish you everything in the world with this podcast because it's incredible and you're amazing. And again, everyone should support it 100%. Ugh, you are
stop.
Absolutely. Like, I will always cheer you on for sure.
Thank you. You have no idea how much that means to me. And especially since we've basically seen each other grow. Like, we haven't been those types of friends that are like, oh my God, let's hang out every weekend or anything like that. But like, the fact that like throughout all these years and despite that, like, we've never worked in the same environment. We didn't even go to the same fucking colleges or anything like that.
No,
but somehow we've always been able to gravitate towards each other and pull back to each other and pick up where we left off. And oh my God, like, what's new? Like, you have to be on my podcast.
Yeah. It's either like me always 100% reacting to your memes or did you see this post? Oh my God, I'm laughing so loud.
Stop. Oh my God. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening this far. If you've made it this far, that's number one in our trash talking of Miami. But more importantly, Daniela, thank you so much for being the incredible individual that you are and for being such
an
advocate and for being such a supporter of the gay community and for, you know what, taking a stance and taking a step outside of yourself and saying, hey, you know what, like, I need to make my own decisions and I need to make my own calls. Like, I appreciate that so much. So if you want to bid farewell to everyone listening right now.
No, thank you 100% for having me. I am so honored. I still can't get over the fact that I'm the first female guest on your podcast. I wish you the best of luck. This podcast is incredible. I hope everyone listening to it either contributes in some way, shape, or form by listening, sharing, everything. I love you so much. Thank you so much.
I still have, Daniela has gifted me, like, I don't know how many birthday cards and Christmas cards.
Oh God, I'm so cheesy.
I have all of them saved in a box. And I, listen, like, who does that? Like, who the fuck does that?
I'm a fucking loser.
I appreciate that so much. But anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning in again. Tune in next time for another episode of Yes, Bro. Hope you enjoyed this one and the tour of Miami that we gave y'all and all the shit that we talked about this lovely, magical city. And until next time, bye. Hello, better me. Mami, ¿qué tú quieres? Aquí llegó tu tiburón. Yo quiero pelearte y fumarme un blunt.